Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Hey, Ohio State lost on Saturday. And then there was a big melee that happened afterwards. There was pepper spray in the eyes of people. I mean, it was a bad, bad scene altogether. Axel didn't cry, though. I thought he might cry. He didn't cry. I go, wow, this is, boy, like father, like son. I dealt with this back in the day. Of course, I mean, that was Tim Biakabatuka running all over the place, and Charles Woodson, not, who was it, Davis Warren is his name? Yep. I don't even remember the guy's name.
There's no chance. He's at a very impressionable age. There's no chance your son changes allegiance if this continues, right?
No.
Because I think for some kids that happens.
No. Listen, I am a lapsed Ohio State fan. Maybe someday he will be when he grows up, but... As of right now, he's all Buckeyes, and that's the way I intend to keep him. Dan Wetzel joins us right now, who's got bigger things to talk about than my son and whether or not Ohio State could actually fire Ryan Day at the end of this playoff. Dan Wetzel joins us right now from Yahoo Sports. He's the host of the College Football Inquirer with he and Pat Forty and Ross Dellinger, who I do listen to the podcast. He mentioned our show earlier in this month, so we got that going for us, Tone. Mentioned you and your tweet, so you got that. You feel good about that, Tone?
I'm disgusted with college football as a whole because I thought this was a sport about decorum and about people getting along, and we saw the opposite of that on Saturday.
What do you think, Dan?
I think, you know, I was expecting them to shake hands, compare chemistry class notes, maybe head over to the library or, you know, have the Ohio State kids show them around Mirror Lake. You know, just show them campus, real collegiality. Instead, I think what we have here, based on what I'm hearing, is Ryan Day is ruining Ohio childhoods. Is that inaccurate?
I would say so.
Fired for that?
Yeah. I mean,
glad it's going well. Everyone's taking it well.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, he's still my childhood was still ruined by John Cooper. So what makes my son special, Dan? He ain't no special.
The grit.
Oh, yeah.
The grit we need in the Midwest.
Thank you.
The grit we need. It was not good. Here's your problem with the Charles Woodson ruining it, or even Tim Biakabatuka. Michigan didn't have anybody like that. Like, they didn't. I'll give their defensive line some great play, and some guys stepped up on the defense, but they didn't even play well.
No.
And they won. It's more understandable if just Khalil Mullings had a nice game. Like, I don't want to take anything from the Michigan players, but he didn't run for 330 yards or something like Tim Biakabatuka did. Like, Ohio State straight up blew that game. it wasn't like, oh, this is a talented Michigan team that just wasn't quite getting it going. They were missing Colston Loveland. They were missing Will Johnson. They were, you know, Edwards got hurt in the middle. I could not believe this result. I kept waiting. Okay, when's Ohio State going to flip the switch? Even with 48 seconds left, I was like, well, they'll flip the switch. It gained 1 yard. I cannot fathom a worse performance in a game where you spent so much time preparing for it, and the talent differential is so significant, and not just in recruiting rankings, but if you actually watch the game, kind of just going out there. I mean, the longest pass by Michigan was a walk-on quarterback to a walk-on former lacrosse player receiver. It just wasn't anything there, and yet somehow they won the game.
Yeah, I think their quarterback, Davis Warren, could have been quoted as saying beating cancer was easier than beating Ohio State at this point. So, Dan Wetzel with us on the hotline. This can't be construed as, well, Ryan Day didn't talk enough about beating Michigan. I mean, that was always the thing with Cooper. Oh, it's just another game. Ryan Day didn't treat this. You could almost argue it was the opposite. Like, he almost treated Michigan like it was too big to beat Michigan because it just seemed like they puckered up again, and it's another year of this.
Yeah, I think that is look, we're all going to play our amateur psychologists because come up with something, but that to me makes sense. The way Ryan Day talks about this rivalry is so over the top, and it feels performative. And a little bit like, well, look, I may be from New Hampshire, but I care as much as you guys, and I understand to a level of Ohio. I don't know, but like when he's discussing, this is the worst thing other than the death of my father, or this is the worst thing that's ever happened to my family, which probably has. I'm not going to, like, losing as that family and would be terrible, but they won't say the word Michigan. They cross out all the M's. The intensity, he's just so intense about it. Sharon Moore, okay, he's from, I think, Kansas. He played at Oklahoma. He's been at Michigan for about 3 or 4 years as an assistant before he got the head job. He says Ohio State, like, he wants to win. He says Ohio State. He says they got good players. He's like, it's just more like, we want to win. Ryan Day's like, we can't lose, and we will never lose again. How's that working? How are you going to go 100-0 against anyone, let alone a school like Michigan that's going to have good teams? Like, it just seems so over the top. And then you see kickers missing, and then Will Howard just looked shook in that game, especially at the end. I think Chip Kelly was shook. The stats were unbelievable. Shutout in the second half. No first downs after the 5:59 mark of the third. No targets to Smith in the fourth quarter. Only two in the third. He had one catch for, I think, 3 yards in the second half. And you have a talent like that. They weren't pressing the ball downfield at all. They kept trying to win this run game, which of course is the predictor of who wins the Michigan Ohio State game. But Michigan has no secondary, and Ohio State's got like four NFL wide receivers. It just seemed like they were so in their head. And it got so tense, and when things didn't start going well and the fans are booing, it just became, I think Michigan was happier to play this game in Columbus than they would be playing in Ann Arbor.
Well, that's what I'm kind of wondering. Like, would they have just lined up and won this game if the game was played in Ann Arbor, Ohio State? Because it's just, it felt, I was watching in the third quarter, Dan, and I'm like, I said to my buddy Brett quietly, I go, I really think they could lose this game. It looks like the pressure is suffocating them. And I thought, well, would there be as much pressure if they were actually in Ann Arbor, or would that just not matter?
It probably would have ratcheted it down, because I think, like, even you could even see when Indiana scored the one, like, Indiana took a 7-0 lead, whatever, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And you could kind of hear the mumblings and the, like, what is going on? And obviously it ended up fine for Ohio State, but I was like, boy, if this gets to the second half and it's close, because, again, I kept waiting, like, all right, boom, 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 Ohio State's going to be up. Ohio State will still win this game, 35-10, all this stuff, and it just never happened. The boos, the angst, who knows what the direct shouts people are yelling at the sideline. It just seemed like the whole program got over-tense, And again, it's like, it's not Ryan Day calling plays anymore. You went out and got Chip Kelly, who's coached the Eagles, the 49ers, Oregon and UCLA, you hire him from as a head coach, coming as an assistant.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
It never happens to call plays and almost like take that off of Ryan Day's plate, and he calls a game that is even more tense than anybody else's. It's almost like it just permeated through the program. So maybe they'd be better off in Ann Arbor, where they can be the you know, just the enemy. But something's got to go. Something's got to give, because this is just not working. I mean, Ohio State's going to win. Maybe they win next year. They're going to, you know, you're not hearing Sherrone Moore saying we'll never losing to him, because he knows better than that. But this one probably hurt Ohio State as much as everything else. Can't blame it on, hey, Ohio State, Michigan's got a great team. It's what do we do with Aiden Hutchinson? He's hard to, you know, it's not Connor Stallions. It's not J.J. McCarthy. It is just straight up, we should have beat this team easy. And they didn't even do anything to win the game. We just almost pretty much just were so bad that this team that could not move the ball at all hung around until they won.
Will they actually consider moving on from Ryan Day in the coming weeks?
Not before the play. I can't imagine they would ever do that before the playoff. Like, I don't think it makes sense. I still think Ohio State could win the national title. I still think they have the most talented roster. Last time they made the playoff after losing to Michigan, they played a great game against Georgia. They lost, obviously, but they were right there to win the national title. So I'm not saying they will. They have a harder road now. They're going to have to play four games. They conceivably could be on the road, particularly like at Tennessee, to start, you know, in the first round, which certainly would make things a lot harder. We'll see how it all shakes out. I think they're still going to host, but we'll see. But they are good enough, and Michigan isn't in the playoff. So, you know, you're not going to have to see those guys. But let's say he loses in that first round. Yeah, I certainly think that it's a little bit of like, maybe we need you to go. And does Ryan Day want to return? He looks miserable, and he's a good football coach, but you know, this is not fun, and I can't imagine having to carry this burden the whole year. And they've got a lot to replace, right? I mean, this is the team they built to beat Michigan. So if they lose early in the playoff and you're sitting on four losses and you're trying to scramble, and the way the calendar is, the portal's open like this week. It's hard to get all the portal players when you're in the playoffs. That's what happened to Michigan this year, and that's what's going to happen to Ohio State. It's not you can't overcome it, but it's a lot harder than if, hey, your season's done, you just do whatever you want. I would wonder if Ryan Day wouldn't be like, boy, is there anything out here I could take and just move on. So I think it's a two-sided decision here.
Dan Wetzel with us. Boy, you said, well, I still think they can win the national championship. And I think some people driving in Cleveland and all around the state of Ohio are like, really? And then I looked, odds-wise, they're the third best odds to win the national championship. I saw yesterday Peter Burns from ESPN said, boy, on Saturday, now he's an outsider, he's not from this region, but he said as an outsider, this is the first time he thought a 12-team playoff devalued the regular season because Ohio State's still going to the playoff. What if Ohio State won the national championship? What does the 12-team playoff do to the rivalry?
I don't think it changed it one bit. I mean, they didn't get knocked out of the playoff last time either, you know. So obviously, this game would mean more. This result would be even more devastating if it was they were out, right? If Ohio State,
yeah,
was
they'd
out.
Be out.
But I don't think based on what I'm guessing, what I'm sensing on the unbelievable angst and anger coming out of Ohio and the unmitigated joy coming out of Michigan, I didn't see this game mattering any. I mean, there was pepper spray involved. This game wasn't like, oh, well, we lost. We'll be good. We're resting our guys or anything like that. So I don't think Peter's got his finger on it. Do you get any sense that anyone's taking much solace?
No, not here.
We're going?
Not here. Yeah. I guess in the national landscape, though, do these games – are like if Ohio State did win the national championship, But the bragging rights would be very interesting between the two schools. They would be amazing. It's like, well, you beat us. You danced at our midfield. You planted the flag. There was, you know, pepper spray afterwards. And then you guys went to whatever BS bowl game and we won the national championship. It'd be very interesting.
Yeah, you got the Pop-Tart Bowl. We got the title. Yeah, that would be the that's kind of the response that I think Ryan Day needs. I mean, I think then all of a sudden it's like, okay, hey, that's fine. Would it live? Would it diminish it? Yeah, you know, in some way, I guess. But if you're in that moment, I think the real concern on a playoff is, do you get to the point where you're just like, oh, this doesn't matter? Like, you're sitting in the fourth quarter and you're an Ohio State fan and you're just like, yeah, whatever. We don't need this game anyway. And that is clearly not the case. So I'm not really sure Peter's grasping just how intense this thing is.
Dan Wetzel joining us here on the show. So if Ohio State were to move on, or Ryan Day were to move on and go, you know what, this isn't for me, I'm going to go take a job with the Bears, be the Bears head coach, as if there isn't pressure there. Is it just a given that Mike Vrabel would be the next head coach at Ohio State, or would they go after maybe Marcus Freeman, or what do you think they'd do?
They're going to get a good coach. I mean, it's a plum job. So I don't know. Vrabel may sit there and say, look, he's going to have NFL opportunities too. So, he may be like, I don't want to deal with the college situation. I'm an NFL guy. I'd rather be there. Does Marcus Freeman jump from Notre Dame to Ohio State? Hard to say. They're rolling there, but this is going to be look, it's Ohio State. If it isn't the best job in the country, it's in the top three. And that's one of the reasons there's so much pressure on Ryan Day and why this kind of a result is just so inexplicable. I mean, they have everything you could possibly want, including the, you know, $20 million roster, but also just the recruiting infrastructure to go get, you know, the number one recruit in the country out of Miami, Florida, a wide receiver, to say, now I'm going to say no to the entire SEC and all the schools in Florida. I'm going to go Ohio State. Like, once you get that kind of set up. So Vrabel would certainly be interested. You know, I kind of find it, you know, Michigan fans are like, oh, yeah, Ryan Day. And it's like, you might not want him going anywhere. Because I remember when, you know, they finally got rid of Tressel and then Urban Meyer showed up. And so that didn't work out too well. So obviously Ohio State rightfully should expect to be very, very good every single year. And I just think that performance that was a coach culture program loss on Saturday. I go back to the fact that good for Davis Warren. That kid's a great story. I mean, he beat cancer and became the Michigan starting quarterback, but he had 62 yards passing. Michigan did almost nothing to win the game except hang around until Ohio State did even less to win the game. And so that's just, I normally think, you know, fans go crazy, fire the coach. I'm not saying that, but to blame Ryan Day for that is, I think, quite, quite fair.
Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports, also the College Football Inquirer. Great podcast, great people, great man. Dan Wetzel, Yahoo Sports. Dan, we thank you very much for the time.
Always good to be on with you guys.
Thank you. Dan Wetzel joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.